This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes on this Monday, 26th of March. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Rush.
Oh, I tell you what, should I switch on your microphone, Audrey? That might help. Should we try that again? And my name is Richard Bradbury. We're in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Rush.
Yay, there
Thanks,
we go.
Rich.
Of course, it's Monday. Allow me a little bit of a leeway. Anyway, unless you've been sleeping under a rock over this weekend and in fact this morning, you might have heard the news, the alleged news then about how Grab were merging with Uber in Southeast Asia. We have confirmed news. It is official, of course. A little bit more on that coming up. What is Li-Fi?
Yeah.
That's something we'll be talking about shortly as well. Frida has how to sell yourself for a job you're overqualified for.
Right.
I think we've all been in that position at some point in our lives. Mm-hmm. And how Seoul are willing to switch off government computers at 8 p.m. because people are working too hard.
And that's
a
problem.
Oh, those South Koreans. Right. So we'll start off with this Uber, Grab and Uber story. And we want to kind of keep running with this story throughout the afternoon. So if you want to get in touch with us about this, it's on 018-789-8899. Of course, that's the WhatsApp number. Or you can get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. So Grab today announced that it has acquired Uber's Southeast Asia operations. This deal is the largest ever of its kind in Southeast Asia. Grab will integrate Uber's ride-sharing and food delivery business in the region into Grab's existing multimodal transportation and fintech platform. With a combined business, Grab will drive towards becoming the number one online-to-offline mobile platform in Southeast Asia and a major player in the food delivery.
Mm.
So Grab will extend its leadership as the most cost-efficient Southeast Asian platform as it takes over Uber's operations and assets in, get this, Cambodia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. As part of the acquisition, Uber will take a 27.5% stake in Grab, and the Uber CEO will join Grab's board. So here's a quote from Anthony Tan, who's the group CEO and co-founder of Grab. He said, "We are humbled that a company born in Southeast Asia has built one of the largest platforms that millions of consumers use daily and provides income opportunities to over 5 million people. Today's acquisition marks the beginning of a new era. The combined business is the leader in platform and cost efficiency in the region. Together with Uber, we are now in an even better position to fulfill our promise to outserve our customers. Their trust in us as a transport brand allows us to look towards the next step as a company, improving people's lives through food, payments, and financial services."
That is completely true. You know, Grab has made itself a huge player in this space, a regional player in this space. You know, in every country in Southeast Asia that you go to, it's always Grab and another big gun. It's either Uber, it's
someone local,
Gojek,
Ola.
It's always Grab and someone else. So kudos to them. This deal, I guess, is a huge deal for them.
It's a bit of a boon, isn't it?
Yes, but what does this mean for Malaysia?
Right. What does it mean for other people in the region as well? You know, we talk about monopolies, right? And it's not like Malaysia is without enough monopolies as it is. But, you know, apparently the Malaysian government does not come down heavily on monopolies, but they do come down on, you know, competitiveness and being a bit naughty. So like we said outside, you cannot just suddenly increase your prices and without being punished. So what I mean, I'm curious to know what it means for us here in Malaysia as to whether or not the two services which were once separate, you know, they've now gone into one big service. I like the fact that we had two options.
Yes, because it was competitive that way.
Exactly. So what would happen is that during the day I would use Grab and in the evening often I would use Uber because the prices were cheaper.
Also, it provided the drivers with an option as well, because most of them were driving for both Grab and Uber, so whichever had better incentives, right?
Correct, right. So later on through the show, we'll be looking at some of the areas of growth that Uber have for us. We'll be filling you in on that. And then later on after that, talking about the disruption that some of the drivers might have moving from one platform to the other. So let us know what you think about this story. Is it a good move? How do you think you guys as Malaysians will respond to this? Get us on 018-789-8899. Moving on to story number two. Audrey.
Yes.
What is Li-Fi?
Yeah, so first thing that crossed my mind was like, first we had Hi-Fi, then we had Wi-Fi, now we have Li-Fi. But basically, Philips Lighting has just unveiled a small coup. It's providing internet to an entire office in France with nothing but its lights. Mm. So basically, Li-Fi stands for light fidelity, and it's just high-speed wireless data that is transmitted through light.
It's that simple.
It's that simple. So that light can come from something as simple as a desktop lamp. The idea is that Li-Fi is built into functional lighting that you want to turn on indoors anyways, and it's also carrying your data.
Interesting.
Ah.
So how does this work, right? So the light sends data through really fast flickering that the human eye can't detect. So you're not going to notice this, right?
The refresh rate.
Yes, the refresh rate occurs like 10 times the speed of light coming from your television or from your computer monitor. So you don't notice that already, right? And this is going to be 10 times faster. A special dongle will do the trick to make today's laptops and other devices capable of detecting Li-Fi. But down the road, your computer or smart could come equipped with sensors to receive Li-Fi. One is a tiny light sensor and the other is an infrared transmitter for use when it's not so bright.
Now, we've heard of these kind of developments before, you know, the movement into super high-speed internet and one. Is this just another kind of flash in the pan, though, or is this something that's likely to be actually happening?
So here's the thing. In labs, Li-Fi is moving at, like, the speed of light.
Light? She had to.
Sorry, Irvin's not here, so I just
had
to
switch off your microphone again. Remember,
I had to fill the space. All right, on the outdoors where they're testing it, it's not really working so great. It's moving at about 30 Mbps. So 30 Mbps is slower than.
It's about your average UniFi speed.
Ouch!
It is though.
Burn.
30 minutes. Yeah, it is.
Be kind, Rich.
But it's true. It's true.
So it's slower than the Wi-Fi that we are enjoying today. It's only capable of streaming. Let's just say, to give you an example, a couple of Netflix shows at the same time. So
right.
It's not really great. It's not at jaw-dropping speeds that Li-Fi is promised to provide. But this is all because, well, the technology is considered immature, and as they work on the tech, it's I think it should get better. It definitely should get better.
What about, it seems an obvious question, but you know, what about at nighttime?
So I was talking to you about the infrared sensors. You would be able to still receive Li-Fi with your infrared sensor. It also, for me, the first thing I thought is, what happens when you turn off the lights?
Exactly, right?
Right, and also, how do you, stop your neighbors? Or
stealing your data.
Stealing your light, right?
Apparently, the history behind it is the same technology used in classic remote control. So anyway, I don't know.
Ah, right.
So whether, you know, you're the one who's in control.
Right. So what I also read about this as well is, you know, nowadays we have these super strong firewalls and we have one thing or another. Is it at the point where if you want somebody to stop sharing your Li-Fi, you just switch off the lights? And then they can no longer access the data.
It could be. But also, I'm sure something like this will come with
passwords. And I'm
right,
sure.
Right?
Yeah. But I think this is kind of interesting just because at the city scale, right? Imagine street lamps and any kind of LED light. They could actually act as a service.
Yeah.
As well as just providing
light. So stuff for automated vehicles or whatever, they'd be receiving data from street lamps and all that kind of stuff. Very useful.
Exactly.
All right. So we're going to take a short break with some music coming up from the Strokes. Of course, it is the modern age, which kind of makes sense. We started off with a story about how Grab have officially announced their merger with Uber in Southeast Asia. They've taken over in, where are we? They've taken over in Cambodia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. Let us know what you think about this deal. Do you think it's a good thing? I mean, obviously, competition has kind of been moved aside now, and we're moving into something else. Let us know your feelings on this. Get us on WhatsApp. It is 018-789-8899. How often do you use Grab? How often do you use Uber? Let us know. Do you have a preference? We're going to take a short break. Music coming up. The Strokes. This Modern Age on BFM 89.9.
Bureaucratic failures multiply. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
Started off with a story about how Grab are merging with Uber in Southeast Asia. They announced that it has acquired Uber's Southeast Asia operations. The deal is the largest ever of its kind in Southeast Asia. They'll integrate with Uber's ride-sharing and food delivery business in the region into Grab's existing multimodal transportation and fintech platform. That's what we started off with. We've been asking you, what do you think about this merger? Do you have something?
Yes, we do. So Vigneswara says, I hope Grab can find a way to resolve the problem where drivers keep cancelling trips due to choosing destinations. Uber never had this issue because they didn't know the destination. Mm. And Steve says the Grab and Uber deal will be great for investors in the short term, but keep an eye in the rear view mirror. There are threats on the horizon. What does he mean by that?
Competition, I guess.
Competition, right. Also, we are being told that Grab are telling Uber drivers in Singapore that they'll be transitioned to the Grab app by April the 8th. That's what we've got so far. A little bit before we move on to Frida's next story about how to sell yourself a job when you're overqualified. Some of the areas of growth that they're moving into in their platform is that they'll rapidly expand into the existing GrabFood businesses in Indonesia and Thailand to two more countries, Singapore and Malaysia, of course, following the integration of the Uber Eats business. They'll grow into its core transport offering to include more localized transport services and new mobility solutions in partnership with other transport providers and automakers. And of course, the payments and financial services, they'll continue to enhance and expand its suite of offerings under Grab Financial, including mobile payments, microfinancing, insurance, and other financial services for millions of underserved and unbanked consumers, micro entrepreneurs, and small businesses in the region.
Right. And if you think about it, I mean, Grab is a story that I've been involved, you know, we've been involved in, right?
From the beginning.
From the beginning. They're less than 10 years. They're younger than BFM, you know what I mean? And how they just came into the space with Grab/Uber. But came to this space when we were not happy with the taxi services, right?
Yeah.
So this has come about, and it's a nice story because it's a Malaysian company,
right,
that has taken over the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In that sense, right? And when you think about competition, even with the idea of Air Asia, when service comes into play, when these things come into play, competition will come in, which is good. I believe this will just give us space for more competitors to come in, which is fine, right? Mm. And we will need more of that. I think people worry about monopoly and all that, but this was something that was required. If they don't falter on their service, if they continue to be, take care of their customers and all that, great. But of course, sometimes, hopefully, this will keep them on toes. And where there is a area that they're not improving, I guess this is an area where competition should maximize
on. Yeah? I mean, just like the tweets we've just had, I mean, I've had personal experience, and I know Audrey has had personal experience of rides being cancelled or of drivers taking the job when they're a lot further away than than they tell you they are, or they say I'll be there in 10 minutes, and you know for a fact they're not going to be there in 10 minutes. Little things like that is an irritation, and I think something like this and this big piece of news really means that us as consumers are really going to be keeping an eye on what they're doing.
I remember, Rich, I was telling you this about during Chinese New Year. I was just about 8 kilometers away from home, and I tried to get an Uber, I tried to get a Grab, and I was comparing prices. And it was about, just because there were very few drivers out there that were willing to take my ride, I ended up paying 40 ringgit and waiting 40 minutes for an 8 kilometer ride back home.
Wow. Okay, well, there is the taxi option.
Yeah, there was, but I was in an area where there weren't really any taxis. I was waiting by the side of the road.
You know, you could do that, right? You can choose that, but people still don't want to choose that.
What's that?
On the app, you can actually choose to have Grab Share, Grab whatever, on a Grab or a taxi. But people are still not looking at the taxi.
I just use the just Grab, which gives you the option of a normal taxi and one of their drivers. Okay, let's move on to story number three.
Which brings me to the point.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be a merger. I wonder if jobs will be lost.
Yeah, well.
There you go. How do you sell yourself a job when you're overqualified? So I think we've all been in this situation. And two scenarios here. And one would be you've relocated or have been laid off, right? And, you know, this could be the case for some people. Now, if you have been in this case, you must explain your motivation for applying to a position that you might seem overqualified for on paper. Highlight how the organization can benefit from experience and how taking this position can enhance your own skill set, right? And in that situation, you must emphasize what you can contribute in terms of added value and what you can get from this role. So, and I guess how to respond yourself is always, you should always project confidence and take on the mindset that recruiters are getting a great deal from you. You know, put on that shoulders, you know, a stand up straight kind of thing, rather than get going in feeling like you're overqualified for the job. I think the whole body language, that whole demeanor will have an impact as well, right? So instead, so adopt the mindset that any company would be lucky to have you, and without seeming arrogant, remind recruiters that learning curve involved with your onboarding will be cut in half compared to, you know, someone else's new, because you now, you know the role a lot better, you know? Reevaluate compensation. I think one of the things is also people sometimes have that mindset that, oh, he might, she might be overpaid or whatever. But just explain to them that managing expectations around compensation is a separate conversation. You need to be realistic and accept that sometimes you'll need to take a step back, right? And tell them that it's okay. And whenever possible, make a direct touch point with the hiring manager over the phone to talk about compensation and how you can form a personal connection and you can articulate all that you have to offer. I have to say, though, sometimes if even be willing to take a pay cut, right? If you're overqualified and everything, and because, you know, that's the job, but maybe not say that out loud, right? And and also not expect that.
Right.
So I mean, that's one thing to think about. But sometimes I know how with even with people that we know, they say they don't mind a pay cut, but the employers on their own, in their own heads already have this, she must want a certain kind of salary. So anyway, but come in and say you're willing to take a pay cut. Second situation is you're switching careers and industries. So so it's not uncommon for people to switch industries to careers. I have many times. So when working with recruiters, highlight any new credentials you've earned to demonstrate your commitment towards this new path you're taking. Emphasize the desire to learn and retrain to create a new path for yourself. And though you may have 20 years experience in one field, you must demonstrate to recruiters that you're ready to check your ego at the door and learn about a whole new world. That being said, relevant and rudimentary skills can always be transferable and should be considered as an ad, as your added value. You know, I've been talking to some friends as well who are so used to working for MNCs and then wanting to make a career path and just say, you know, how, well, the startup scene is really exciting right now and it may not be able to afford you, pay you what MNCs used to pay you, but you're getting into a whole new space, a whole new field, and how, you know, that is, that's exciting for you. I think, and show your enthusiasm and excitement for this whole new
and
career
something
path,
new.
Right? And the worst thing you could do is tell the recruiter, you'll take anything just to get a job. Don't say that. Don't say that, right? Though this often may be a truth, people want to see that you possess the right enthusiasm and fit for the role, not desperado.
You don't want, no, nobody wants that.
No desperado. A couple of things as well, you know, with the resume. If your resume demonstrates work dating back more than 10 years, right, consider consolidating experience and only keeping what is still relevant today. If you've had multiple designations in education, consider only keeping what is relevant to the job so that they're not going through page after page after page. And consider reformatting your resume in a way that tells a new story. You know, one of the things that I do, and it's not to look for a job, but how I update my resume is just posting them on things that I'm doing right now. And
right.
So people say, like, oh, okay, she's current, she's doing
this
something.
This constant stream of stuff that you're up to.
Right?
Yeah, it keeps people interested.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Audrey, do we have anything referring back to the Uber story earlier on?
Yeah, we have a couple of messages, but here, this one from Citizen for Change. This person is concerned because he or she says, I'm having trouble getting Grab drivers at KLIA, choosy drivers asking us to cancel order, lame excuses like car trouble, and then he or she ends up taking the airport limo. So he or she is actually really concerned about this.
And you end up paying more money using the airport limos as well, right? Do you not?
Not really.
No.
Not
okay.
Really.
I'm just all right. I'm spitting things out there. You know, if I'm wrong, please do correct me. Frida. So you were saying that you've been in, just going back to your own story here. You were saying that you know you've been in a position where you've had to take a pay cut. And what was it that motivated you to want to take that pay cut? Was it moving into a different direction?
It was a different direction. Right. It was basically from leaving my previous job in the MNC to joining BFM. It was working in the very corporate world, everything. I said, wow. And having been in broadcasting while working in an MNC, the idea of merging both these skills together was just a whole new world for me. And it involved a 30% pay cut, but it was just, was this something I wanted to do and just create a new path for myself?
And now here you are.
And here I am.
All right.
Talking about this.
Okay, very quickly then, a quick reminder. The story that we started off with was about how Grab have merged with Uber in Southeast Asia, making it, well, it's a huge, huge move. They've taken over in Cambodia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. Let us know what you think about this whole thing. 018-789-8899 on Twitter at BFM Radio. When we get back, final story of the day before we move on to our event suggestions, how Seoul are to switch off government computers at 8 p.m. To force staff to stop working such long hours. Don't go anywhere. Music. It is the Eurythmics with a Missionary Man here on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
We started off the story today with how Grab have merged with Uber in Southeast Asia, the largest ever deal of its kind in Southeast Asia. They're to embark on next phase of growth to build Southeast Asia's leading online to offline mobile platform, to expand Grab Food towards becoming the region's number one provider of food delivery services. To minimize disruption, Grab and Uber are working together to promptly migrate Uber drivers and riders, Uber Eats customers, merchant partners, and delivery partners to the Grab platform. The Uber app will continue to operate for 2 weeks to ensure stability for Uber drivers, who can find out how to sign up to drive with Grab online over at grab.com. Uber Eats will run until the end of May, after which Uber delivery and restaurant partners will move to the Grab food platform. So we've been asking you what you think about this whole merger. We've had a few messages so far. What do we have, Audrey?
Olivia here says Grab drivers can see passengers' destinations, hence they're getting very picky and selective with which jobs to bid for. If drivers are going to be picky, then you're no different from regular picky taxis. Why did ride services like Uber and Grab exist in the first place?
True.
Very good point. Do let us know your thoughts. We still have a few minutes left if you want to get in touch. 018-789-8899. Moving on to story number four. South Korea will switch off government computers at 8 p.m. on a Friday to force staff to stop working such long hours. Right. So the country has one of the longest working hours in the world, with the average government employee clocking up to 2,739 hours a year, the equivalent of 52 hours and 40 minutes at work, 52 weeks of the year.
Well, we don't have that problem here.
We don't. That's very true. I'm glad you said it and not me. Workers in South Korea spend about 1,000 more hours a year in the office compared to the equivalents in other developed countries. In comparison, the average UK working week is 32 hours, according to research. It averaged across 52 weeks of the year. So the plan will be coming in three phases, beginning with the 8 p.m. switch off coming from March the 30th. From April, the computers will be turned off at 7:30 p.m. on the second and fourth Friday of the month.
Wow.
And by May, the allowed working hours will be rolled back to 7 p.m. There will be exceptions made in special circumstances. And get this, 67.1% of government workers have been asked to be made exempt. They actually want to work longer. The government has also recently passed the law to cut the maximum hours allowed to work a week down to 52 from 68 hours.
Okay, I'm just wondering though whether they get OT.
I don't think they do, you know.
Right.
I don't think they do.
I'm worried. Workload, you know, how much work do they have if they're working like 68 hours a week maximum, right?
Whoa. I mean, I had a friend who was working in South Korea, a British guy who moved over there a few years ago. And I think he was there for 3 years in the end. And when I saw him after those three, he looked drained. You know, he was somebody who had clearly worked far too much, was very tired and lost a lot of weight. But that's just how things are over there, you know, and you need somebody to literally slap you around and say, you know, this, you have to calm down. You've got to stop working so hard.
I worry about this law just because if they're going to shut off computers at 8 p.m. to start off with on Fridays, they will be working longer hours on the other weekdays.
Mm. This is true.
Right?
Yeah. But they, you know, they mandated shutdowns to for the internet to stop kids playing video games as well, of course, between 12 a.m. and 6 a.m. So, I mean,
that's a good call.
Yeah.
It is a good call,
call.
But then again, you know, nanny state much? Does it, you get any rings of that? You know, you feel like that? No? Okay, I'm getting the stare down, aren't I? Two mothers here in the room with me right now. Anyway, we have to take another short break. But before we do that, a quick reminder. We are asking you what you think about this merger of Grab and Uber. Grab have taken over Uber's operations here in Southeast Asia in a number of countries. Let us know what you think about this via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. And, of course, on Twitter at BFM Radio. Short break. Arcade Fire with the suburbs. And when we get back, some events that we think you might want to check out in this forthcoming week. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up. In a few minutes, we'll be giving you some suggestions for events that you might want to check out. We have, of course, been talking about the Grab and Uber merger here in Southeast Asia, where they'll be taking over operations in Cambodia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. Feedback it's been coming constantly. What have we got?
Yes. So Keychin here says, this is not so good for consumers like me. Grab prices have been going up. It may make it worse with a monopoly. Also, there is another one here by Arish. Now, Arish says, this is the most recent clear example of the power of digital wallets today. The ability to immerse and engage a user within your ecosystem creates a stickiness that can beat out any player. Of course, he's talking about Grab and how they've managed to just, well, overwhelm Southeast Asia with their services. And now, you know, they're buying over their biggest competitor. And another one here by Sam. Sam says, Grab and Uber are forming a cartel in Southeast Asia, and that's the only thing that matters to this story.
Resistance is futile. Yep. Right then, let's give you some events that you might want to check out in this forthcoming week. Audrey, what do you have?
Well, the first one is called Branding to Stand Out in a Crowded Market. This is happening tomorrow, March 27th, from 7:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. at a Talent Bank, Sunway Geo Avenue. This event is perfect for people who are running businesses and are hoping to gain more exposure, leads, and customers. Also, if they're looking to improve their professional image and leadership presence, if they're planning to start a business and are keen to explore new opportunities, as well if they're keen to learn more about how to take advantage of personal branding to gain exposure. Jade Lim from Beyond Image will share more about her expertise on reinforcing personal branding to stand out in a crowded marketplace. Jade Lim, of course, is a certified image consultant, a certified NLP practitioner. She's also an image columnist, a trainer, and a speaker. She's got 15 years of combined experiences in image branding and communications. Tickets are available via PTIX. I think there's an early bird special for 20 ringgit and a general pass priced at 50 ringgit. This again is happening tomorrow, March 27th, from 7:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Talent Bank Sunway.
I've got a short one for you. Tomorrow, it is called Work Hack, Scaling Your Startup in the Cloud. Tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. until 6:30 at W Space at the Boulevard at Mid Valley City. Tickets are available on PTIX. So W Space and Go Pomelo, Google Cloud Premier Partner, are organizing a keynote session. Work Hacks, Scaling Your Startup in the Cloud. Discover how G Suite can unlock the potential of your workforce, drive innovation, and enable your business to realize its full potential by embracing Google technologies for mobility. The session will cover an introduction of the revolution underway in cloud computing, how the modern enterprise is benefiting from the latest cloud technology in unprecedented ways. Space is limited. Complimentary community event. Register early to save a spot.
Right. Third event is our network series, which is happening on Wednesday, March 28th at 7 p.m. We've got three astounding women, Lavini Tiruchelvam from babydash.com. You know, they broke records last year when they managed to raise a lot of money, over 1.5 million with pitch-in. So this was equity crowdfunding. She's going to be talking about how she built trust with her customers. And then we've got Sharla Aksit, who's got the ASEAN Data Exchange Center, and she's helping to train about 10% of the 20,000 data scientists that we need in this country. And also, she's a real game changer in this space as well, Malaysian company. And Munira Lui from Brand International. I think she'll talk about how her first business opportunity was with her ex-boss.
Oh, wow.
Right? And then after that, another opportunity came about with her ex-client, right, when she was working with MNC. So you're going to hear these amazing stories about how they press for progress. So you can go to bfm.my/networkseries, register. Tickets are running out there as well.
All right. We've quickly run through the stories that we covered. Of course, we did cover the Grab merger with Uber in Southeast Asia. We've still got messages coming in.
Yeah, we do. So let's just do one or two. Okay, let's just do two more before we go. There's one here that says, competition is always good, and with this monopoly. Grab customers will be forced to accept whatever fare or service provided by Grab drivers. This merger isn't good for common people like you and me, as we are left with little choice. And this is one of my favorites. It actually came with a really cool GIF, but you can't see the GIF, but anyway, I'll read out anyway. Grab plus Uber equals Gruber. Nah, I've made peace with the death of Gruber. That's from Fayyad.
Right, so we started off with that story. We then moved on to Audrey's story about what is Li-Fi?
Yes, it's the new alternative for to Wi-Fi using lights, lamps, street lights.
We then had...
How to sell yourself for a job when you're overqualified.
And we finished up with how Seoul are to switch off government computers at 8 p.m. For those people that work really, really hard. Anyway, don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is, of course, the Breakfast Grill replay. Cellcom Asiata recently reported encouraging results for the financial year of 2017. Will this momentum hold in 2018? CEO Michael Kuna joined the Breakfast Grill and shared his insights into the company's performance as well as their plans to stay competitive in the telco industry. That's coming up after the news. My name is Rich Bradbury on behalf of Freeview. And of course,
Audrey Raj.
There you go. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same place at noon with Enterprise Biz Bytes. Thank you all for your messages and your tweets. Remember that number for tomorrow, 018-789-8899. Of course, Twitter at BFM Radio. Meanwhile, some music coming up from Pete Townsend with Let My Love Open the Door. That's all coming up right here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.